On the cover, filling the entire page, is the burning sphere of the Earth's sun. Right in the center is the now iconic hole to its core, silhouetted in flames, floating weightless in space, is the hero Blox.
Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Blox. I'm building a kinder world, one construct at a time.
Now with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Ingenious Blox, issues number 1 through 5, the Building a Kinder World collection. On the first page of the comic, there is a little cartoon in the corner of Jeff Stormer with a little word bubble popping up, and he explains...
So this is the story of a hero, their great villain, and the city that they share. In this story, we are going to watch the day-to-day exploits of a great and powerful hero. We're going to track the stories of the people that they save and the people that they can't. We're going to flip some cards, we're going to roll some dice, and we are going to tell the story of a hero and the city that looks up to them. How that's going to work is James, who is playing the role of the city, is going to flip a card. That card is going to take us to a location. That could be somewhere that is in danger. It could be a location where someone important lives. Then Brandon, who is playing the villain, is going to put that place in danger. Brandon is going to come up with a villainous plot or a natural disaster or a cosmic threat and put that place in danger. Or he's going to introduce a new NPC, or something is going to happen. Brandon is going to, as our villain, Brandon is going to start the action proper. Then, I, as the hero, am going to describe how I save the day. Brandon will roll a dice to determine how well I save the day, if I manage to save everybody, or if I lose somebody and I'm not capable enough to save all of our people in danger. We will play through all of this. Somewhere in the deck of cards that James has that he's pulling from is a Joker. That Joker will represent our grand nemesis, the ultimate villain that will emerge to challenge Blox. Blox will fail in our first battle. Then we'll flip some more cards. And when it's time to, when we flip our second Joker, then Blox has his uprising. Blox comes back stronger, saves the day, and Protean City lives on, and Blox lives on to fight another battle. Important notes about the game. The most important thing is Blox is always going to win. Every threat, with the exception of the downfall, Blox is always going to save the day. Blox is never in danger, but it's not about whether or not the hero saves the day. It's about whether or not they're able to save all the people that are in danger. That's the core of the game. It's the heart of the game. And that's the thing to really keep in mind. And with that, I think we're ready to dive in.
I have drawn my first card.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the Seven of Diamonds. That means that we are going to go for our first issue of Blox to somewhere in imminent danger. And I believe because it's a diamonds card, that means it's somewhere in the East Side / University area.
Yes, that is where Blox is most comfortable. His apartment is in East Side. It's on the edge of Protean City U. It is the place that Blox is most comfortable. It is the place where people most know him. Which is an important thing. And yeah, diamonds is when he is most in his element.
Excellent. So I'm going to describe where we are and who is there. Mm-hmm. And this is an exact match to your element, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because your element is the diamonds.
Is diamonds. Yep.
You're in your element. This is your neighborhood. These are your people. And so you'll roll three dice.
Yeah, the villain's going to roll three dice when Brandon describes the threat.
I think that where we are is we see this first panel of this comic, and it is early in the morning. I think that you haven't gone to work yet, or you haven't gone to the university yet. You have stopped along the way, as you perhaps do frequently, at a small cafe in the East Side, that's like just outside of the campus of the university. That's a nice place to sit. They have a lot of outdoor seating, so you can sit and watch the sun sort of fully come up, the haze burn off around the city, and just sort of enjoy the morning. Get a nice cup of coffee and a croissant or something. And I'm going to call this place Cafeopolis.
Cafeopolis is a very good name.
Yes.
Love it.
And the person who owns this place, the person who is there every morning serving and running this place is Titus Brewer.
I love Titus.
So I think that there are probably not a ton of people here. There's a few other regulars who you don't know by name, but you probably know by face. I think very few other people stop here. This is a high traffic place where people come and grab a coffee and run off to their job. But you have the luxury kind of sit here and see that.
Yeah, I come early. Hector at this moment is wearing like a track jacket. Or like an Under Armour jacket. It's got the Protean City U logo on it, like it's something that they give out to their professors and their sort of staff. He's got one earbud in an ear, and then the other ear is just kind of listening to the city, and he's just like tearing through like really like a bubblegum techno pop album is what's on his phone at that moment. And he is sitting, he has ordered his coffee and his for reference, this is an important detail that I need you both to have. His sandwich order of choice is a hot sausage, egg and cheese on cinnamon raisin toast. You know, sort of a hot and sweet combination that he thinks is most places in the city either won't make it or like they make it and it kind of doesn't work. But like at Cafeopolis, like Titus, I don't know if he's making that bread himself. Titus is really like definitely. there's something about that toast and that hot sausage that is just divine.
Yeah, so that's where we are when the villain attacks.
All right. From outside of the coffee shop, Blox is going to start hearing just like terrified screaming. We get a couple panels that show him presumably getting to the door, and people are just sprinting down the street trying to get away. And there's an enormous tusked, kind of like humanoid giant that has a big chain that's tied around three of the Protean City University students. Mm. They all have like masks on that are clearly homemade, and like these look like a couple of vigilante kids that just got started out. And the huge like troll giant that's stomping along goes, "None of these heroes can stand against Gerglax the Conqueror."
We get a shot as soon as the screaming starts, we get like a close-up shot on Hector, who is like pale-skinned, freckles, red hair, kind of scruffy, like red hair, kind of similar hair to like modern way that like Jimmy Olsen is drawn, like in the modern interpretation, where it's kind of like a scruff cut.
Nice.
Holding like a ceramic mug, and like the cubes start forming. Like it's clearly something that like it's like a stress response or like an excitement response. Cubes start popping, and it's kind of like pop, 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 pop. Gets up, looks, oversees this, takes a very long drink of the coffee, and then the next panel, the bottom panel on the page before we flip the page to a big like battle spread, is empty coffee mug, tip. We get some bills and some coins for tip on the counter, and we just hear a bubble of like, go ahead and wrap the sandwich, Titus.
Titus will just kind of yell, maybe even as you're running away, and Titus will kind of yell back from behind the counter, "Do you want it before you go to fight or after?"
After.
All right, I'll keep it warm for you.
Appreciate that.
And Gerglox is just standing there and turns his enormous head and just like snorts at the air.
"Another human thinks it can stand against me."
And it just takes the other end of its chain and just starts swinging it at Blox.
And Blox holds out his hands, and the cubes kind of start forming around his fingers, and they form sort of a like a slightly techie, slightly battle suit-y kind of armor around his body up to his neck. A domino mask forms over his eyes, and a cape flows out behind him, and the whole aesthetic is, let's say, like cobalt blue and black.
Nice.
So what happens now is we roll, you roll your dice to tell me, and then from there we'll describe out how the fight goes and like what happens from there. Great. So you're going to roll a six-sided dice, and that result is going to tell you if I stop the threat and whether or not I can save everyone and or if I push past my limits and become something greater than myself.
And actually you'll roll three.
You'll roll three. Yeah, you'll roll three dice and take the highest result.
Okay. My highest result was a five.
Beautiful. So I think what happens immediately is I put up my hands, I square up, and I give a smile, and I'm like, I may be human, but I think I can tangle a little bit. I've got an hour before class. And you say Gerblox? Gerglax.
No, it's a Gerglax.
Gerglax.
Thank you.
Gerglax rushes at Blox, and Blox jumps back, forms a shield immediately in front of himself, takes the punch, tumbles backwards, you know, gets a little roughed up in the process, but does this specifically so that, and we see this, that, like, the shield kind of shatters. Like, it was kind of very obviously like a temporary thing, or more specifically, kind of a little bit of a distraction, because giant scissors appear behind Gerglax, and they tear through the chain, and they free these three vigilantes, so that like Blox jumps at Gerglax, lands behind Gerglax. And, like, points to the three, like, teenagers and is like, all right, we take this on together when we move in unison. Are we good with this?
Amazing. And the three of them, Flip Cop, Kings, and Bear Pong, stand up and, like, get into fighting positions behind you.
And I think that we get, like, a splash. We get one of those, do you know what my favorite things in comics are? And we see this right here. You know the like the all-in-one splash panel is the only way I can describe it.
Yes.
We see a shot, like it's a splash panel of just like the city street, and we get, it's like you see little, like all of the little panels are on this one big splash panel of the neighborhood, and there's a shot of like Flip Cup curling up into a ball and doing kind of a speedball bounce off of a wall that Blox has created to slam into Gerglax. And Kings hurling some razor-bladed playing cards, and like we see all of these things all kind of happening. All of them are specifically assisted by Blox's constructs in a way that he is clearly like teaching these teens to not just kind of go out and smash and grab, but like work as a team and show that they can do something better by working as a team.
Fantastic. I guess you already answered this question. What great moment of heroism do you achieve?
I think the great moment of heroism that we achieve is like Blox doesn't take the sort of knockout blow on Gerglax.
Yeah.
I think what it is I think there's a moment where Gerglax gets the drop on Blox and kind of like gets a good shot in. Blox kind of climbs to his feet and like smiles and like drops his defenses. Just as like a shadow falls over Gerglax, as it turns out, this bear is like 18 feet tall.
Oh, awesome.
And he just, we get that moment of like Gerglax is about to swing the chain and a little hand kind of pops up over Blox's head that kind of is like doing the finger point like behind you. And he pauses and he turns and the bear just swipes, and it's that Blox let these kids have this hero moment and like pulls them aside and is like, act as a team.
Yeah.
Act with the public interest.
Absolutely.
Work together. And you'll do great things.
And then we just get like a series of three bro hugs.
And like the last panel of the issue is a half page shot of all of them eating breakfast sandwiches like together.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Perfect. Excellent. I'm going to draw the next card, and I have drawn a king of clubs.
No, no.
So somewhere protected.
Jeff Stormer, the Jeff Stormer pops up in the corner. Kings are a special card. Face cards and anyone can wear the mask are special. Each one represents a prominent side character that Blox is going to meet. Kings specifically take us somewhere protected, which are places far removed from the hustle and bustle of everyday life, the halls of the rich and powerful, those with the money and influence to change the world who choose not to. These people are not Blox's friend.
Yeah, because it is clubs. We are in, we're in the city center. And so I think that the panel is it's a rooftop golf course. It's one of the taller buildings in city center, and the whole of the top of this building outside of one small building that is like where the elevators come up and out. There's not a lot else out there. There's a bar that's kind of like maybe even there's a water trap that is also a pool. And it's not a huge golf course. There's maybe like one or two holes on the top of this building. It's really like it's disgusting amounts of opulence kind of going on here. And there are a few people here gathering to just have like as rich people do. This is a place in the city that is different. It's different from the rest of the city in that it doesn't even have the sort of art, like the retro futuristic art deco kind of aesthetic. It's maybe even like stark modernism. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of like hard blocky lines on this rooftop, and it is a little patch. Like Protean City is a green city. Like there are a lot of, I imagine it having a lot of trees and parks, but this is like it's ridiculous. Like because it's so big, they've got the whole top of this building that you could almost forget that you're in a city. Mm. And they've kept this to themselves up on top of this building. And that's where we are.
So we're up on this rooftop golf course. We have like there's various different muckety mucks up there. Everyone in like really fancy clothing, but like casual fancy, you know, like it looks like it should be comfortable, but obviously it isn't, and it's extremely formal. And one of the people up there is Anastasia Strickland, and they're new to the city. They came in basically after Falcon went down and have been doing a bunch of work that has to do with like setting criminal statuses of dangerous acts. So like basically trying to push things so that if you do something that could be like a manslaughter charge or like an assault charge, it ramps up to a battery charge or a murder charge if you know that you are superpowered.
Mm.
So Strickland is up there. They are in like this like really sharp power suit, and they have the heels with the red bottoms on them, like on this fake golf turf.
Yeah.
And are just like smashing golf balls and just hurtling them towards buildings all around. Like they don't care. They're pointing at them and going like, I bet it can hit that veranda. Let's see. And they're just like, tick.
Oh God, I hate this person so much because there's like an actual real golf course here that they could use, and they're choosing to just ignore it and just drive.
Oh yeah, no, they're just driving. They're trying to hit people's windows. They definitely broke a window a little while ago.
What happens is we see that ball, right? Like we see it fly, and it gets caught in a cobalt blue catcher's mitt.
Nice.
And Blox touches down Strickland.
Blox, I didn't expect to see you here.
No, didn't think you would, but...
You weren't on the invited list.
I rarely am. Do the names Kings, Flip Cop, and Bear Pong mean anything to you?
You know I couldn't possibly talk about that. They definitely have like come up to like a prosecutor, like a higher level. I know nothing about the law, but they're like a prosecutor of some kind, right?
Maybe the district attorney.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So DA Strickland. You know I couldn't possibly comment on that.
They got pinned with destruction of property. They got pinned with a bunch of other things. You know they saved people.
Did they do it?
No. The giant
Hector, let me explain something to you.
It's Blocks. If you're
riding... Hector.
My friends call me Hector. It's Blocks.
Well, I'm sure we're going to be very good friends very soon. But if you run someone over in a bicycle, then things tend to go pretty all right for you. If you run someone over in a tank, then we know you did it on purpose. These kids are walking tanks, and I'm sorry that that's upsetting to you, but things have changed a little bit since you took a leave of absence.
Yes, I guess things changed since I buried myself in the sun to stop it from imploding.
Very, very dramatic. That was before I was born. Can I have my ball back?
The ball, we see the ball, like, there's a series of panels of Anastasia's face and Blox's face, like, on the far end of panels, and the mitt kind of floats closer to them and closer to them and closer to them, and then Blox and the mitt are just gone with the ball,
and that's technically grand theft. That's grand theft.
The ball then drops on their head.
And that is battery. And they, like, just put the ball down and go, someone get me in touch with Steel Enterprises. We need to deal with this.
So what this is going to look like for the rest of the game is Anastasia Strickland is an enemy of Blocks, which means they are going to get involved anytime we flip a club and there is something in danger. They are going to be involved somehow, whether they are directly funding the threat or they appear on the scene to make my life more difficult.
Awesome.
Which means you as the villain are going to roll one fewer dice, which means that for the time being, because it's clubs and you would normally roll one dice, you're going to roll two dice and take the lower result.
Oh, no.
My life has been made more Anastasia difficult.
Anastasia has made your life very difficult.
This continues until either I flip the ace of clubs, which is somewhere in our deck, or until I flip the jack of clubs, meet an ally, and they choose to sacrifice themselves to stop the enemy.
Well, I will draw a new card. And I have drawn the Jack of Hearts, which is somewhere peaceful. Somewhere peaceful in the Bash. Somewhere peaceful. So the hero is going to encounter someone they need. Someone who can help them on their journey to defeat the villain. Someone who might need something from the hero first. And so I'm going to describe the scene. There may be people here, but it is somewhere the hero can quietly recover and focus their attention on someone specific. So Hearts is a friend, and they need someone to listen to, or they need someone to listen. So I think that we find ourselves. The scene is in the Bash. It is I think in contrast to the opulence of the rooftop golf course and sort of like perfect pruned perfection that was that area, we see it's one of those parks that's like in the middle of the city street, so it's maybe a lane wide but maybe a block long, and it has kind of like a wrought iron fence that rings around it. It's very overgrown in a bad way, but in a very like it feels like an old park that's been there forever, but it's quiet. It's inviting, and there's a gazebo and some other sort of things inside that have ivy and other plants grown up over them. It is a private space where even from sort of from above, people can't look down on you too much. And there is a woman here, Norma Honeyset, who is an older woman. She runs a flower cart, that is often placed here. She often sort of sets up shop around this little space. And as we sort of see a couple panels of this, we see she actually, she spends a lot of her time sitting, in this park, not even like at her shop, at her cart too closely. And she has a little, I think she has a chessboard, like the way that there are like sort of city chess tables mm-hmm. set up. And she's just kind of sitting waiting for anyone to pass by who might want a flower or a game of chess. And she, I think one of the things that we definitely see is she has a blocks pin from the 40s that she got out of like a cereal box. Like she was a little girl who was in the blocks fan club. And she has never believed that you were dead. She always believed that you were out there in the sun somewhere. And she wears this every day, and she is someone who you can go to and she will talk to you.
And I think that we see, like she's sitting and, she's drinking her corn Fanta. And like a hand forms around one of the pawns on this perfectly set up chessboard, and it moves the pawn in front of the king two spaces, and she looks up with awe in her eyes, and it's Hector out of costume in the track jacket and the jeans, and he kind of awkwardly waves a little bit. And but he's very specifically kind of standing at the cart, not like he has not walked over, and he's kind of awkwardly standing, like he waves with one hand, his other hand is kind of behind his back, and he like is kind of, you know, doing the kind of rub his feet on the ground thing. And he's like, I need some flowers.
I can certainly help you with that. What were you looking for? And are they for you? Or are they for someone else?
First date flowers.
Okay. Then, and she kind of like picks through she has like the different like tubes of different kinds of flowers all over this cart. And she kind of slowly picks out things, and she looks at you, and she looks back at the flowers, and picks out a couple different ones and builds you a little like bouquet of flowers. And she says, simple and beautiful, a good first impression.
Okay, but flowers aren't too much, though. You're in agreement. Flowers are like this isn't too. It's been a while.
It has, hasn't it? She kind of taps on her pin and she says, "I was a fan when I was a girl."
that is. Oh my god! Can I tell you? Can I tell you something?
Absolutely.
I made those in my living room. I know you got them from the president of the Blocks Land Club, but like I spent 14 hours with a button press. Oh my god, I cannot believe that one of those has survived. Oh my god, what an embarrassing few days that was.
It is one of my prized possessions. I always wear it. I've been hoping that you'd come back. And you were here now.
Oh my god, I can't. Do you don't have the membership card?
And she kind of pats at her jacket. Not on me, but it's back in my apartment.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. Oh my god. Okay. Oh my, this is thank you. This is the best day that I have honestly had. I'm sorry. I never asked your name.
I'm Norma.
Norma? This is going to sound like hyperbole. This might be the best day that I've had in the last 85 years.
Well, that's a lot. I hope that the flowers can be for someone special, and that I hope that you'll spend more time around here.
I mean, I had an hour and a half before my lecture. We can finish that game.
Do you mind if I talk a little and tell you about the blocks? Now I'm embarrassed, but the blocks, the fan club is not gone. There are still some of us around.
Oh my god. Yes. And, I mean, obviously, like you, that's the reason that you play chess, is to talk about stuff, but like I need you to tell me everything.
I will.
Hell, yes, good. And I think that the last thing, I think the last two things that we see are, we see a shot of a text message, as the chess, like with an overhead shot of them playing chess. And it says, can you cover for me? Can you cover the lecture for me? I've got an appointment. And then the next shot is like a front on shot of blocks of Hector. And it's just Hector like in like a tiny little like back room. Like, hi, I'm Hector. And like then it just cuts to like eight screaming elderly people.
Yeah. Who are just all smiles and warm faces.
And Hector is just equally delighted.
Excellent.
And then I have to give some tension, right?
Yeah, put some tension in the air.
So we got that call out to like that you were going to be giving a lecture. And so we get a brief shot of like the audience of the lecture as like the announcement is being made that you will not be showing up. And there's someone in the front row that has like a big jacket and like the hat pulled down. And a little bit of like a scarf pulled up over their face more than they need to be. And the minute it's announced that you aren't there, their hand just like squeezes on one of the armrests and just snaps the wood. And they stand up and storm out of the auditorium.
Oh, that's real good. All right, let's flip our next card.
The next card is an 8 of clubs.
Oh, no.
Okay, so... somewhere in imminent danger. So the way this works is, I believe this is no match. So you're out of your element here.
Yes.
People don't trust you.
So the villain rolls one dice when I'm out of my element. You'll then roll a second dice and take the lowest result because Strickland is on the scene. You're going to roll two dice and take the lowest result.
Yeah, because you would have rolled one.
God.
You would have rolled one dice.
Reducing that by one because yeah. DA Strickland is here. This is City Center. We are going to go to the first panel of this comic is City Center. It's kind of the Protean City equivalent of, it's sort of a cross between Wall Street and Times Square, where it's a little bit less touristy and a little bit more upscale, exterior dining along a road that is blocked off for travel for cars. So there's no cars here, but there's a lot of people sort of moving through. There's tall buildings that form this kind of canyon look, and all the buildings are more grays and blacks and mirrors. There is in the center of this area, there is this like brass scorpion. That's very yes. like harsh lines. And its tail is kind of up, and the head of the tail where there would be a stinger, it's a projector, and it projects, it uses like laser lights to project the like most recent stock ticker on the building across from it.
So much.
And so nobody lives here, but there are a lot of like, this is where like the upper class business folks come to have dinner. In a fancy cafe, and make the like tourists walk past them and make them jealous and that sort of stuff.
Fantastic. We get a couple of panels that show a girl, like it looks like she's in her like early 20s. She's in kind of in slightly like I've just grown out of being a scene kid clothes, with like dyed black hair and like some green streaks in it, sitting with like an empty bottle of Corn Fanta and just like watching a couple of guys in fancy gray suits that are like yucking it up in the middle of the workday, like, you know, having like a lavish, having a lavish meal with Moscow mules and stuff. And we get a couple panels of her just sitting there watching. And then suddenly she just lifts both of her hands and the scorpion goes hurling through the air and just smashes their table. And it like hurls them both to the ground. And she just starts walking forward with just this incredible Magneto-style confidence. And anytime someone starts coming towards her, like, in any sort of aggressive way, she just hurls up a hand and, like, a vague cobalt energy, like, whooshes around them for a moment, and they're just still. She goes up to the two businessmen and just grabs one of them. And flicks out a knife and gets it to his neck and says, start walking now. And they start just like, she's basically just like perp walking this guy with a knife to the neck. And she's going to walk, like, she starts walking out off of the pedestrian way, like into traffic, and just puts out a hand and is like stopping cars like 5 feet away from her. And they're just like, they're not like accordioning to the point that it's like the person inside is definitely dead or something, but just like the front of the car just like squished.
And as I think we get like a sequence, like a page long sequence where she's walking and like cars are crumbling, but like if you watch the page closely, you can see the blade of the knife like starts to change color a little bit, and like padding forms around it.
Nice.
And then the last page, the last panel on the page, there's a word bubble that just says like, "You can put down the knife; it's harmless." And Blox is standing in front of her, hands raised, hands kind of in the no trouble pose in front of his face. And he's like, "The knife is neutralized. You can put it down. I just want to talk."
She looks at it and she looks back up at you and like drops the knife and says, "I don't need it. It was just for him. I could stop his heart right now."
"I'd ask that you don't."
And you can see that like the energy that she is using is the same energy that you use.
That's real good.
That's why it had that color match.
Yep.
This doesn't concern you. This is something that, this is important.
I'm sure it is, and I'd love to hear all about it.
And interspersed in these panels, we start getting the heels like clicking as Anastasia is coming down the pedestrian walkway.
All right, now roll those dice.
It's a 2.
Okay, 2's not bad. 2's not bad.
Okay.
2 is I stop the threat, but it's messy. How do you, what do I do? What goes wrong? And I either get hurt or cause collateral damage.
Okay. She has like this businessman by the back of the neck, and he's starting to like go, he's starting to look a little more confident. And she just gives him a look and says, "You know who I am? I'm D-Verb. And anything that starts, I can stop it." And she just like holds up a hand and starts to close it. And he like just reaches for his chest and is like holding on to where his heart is. And she turns back to Blox and says, "Your Richmond particles, they can do a lot of things. They can do fascinating things. And I'm going to use them to make sure that Protean City gets theirs. These guys have been taking and taking and taking every day of their lives. And this is a chance for us to take something back."
And I think he's clutching his chest, and two defibrillators, two cobalt blue defibrillators appear like on his chest, and they rub, they kind of go rub, they do the rub and they do the pump, and he kind of like recovers a little bit.
And she like focuses in, and like they move back towards him for another hit on him and just stop in the air. And you can just like feel your will against hers.
Look.
And like she's starting to, her face is turning red from just like the sheer effort of holding back your power there.
And I think Blox looks very calm. Like Blox is not exerting that much power here.
Yeah.
Because this is like, you know, he's been doing this for 85 years. Like,
they're Richmond. They're Richmond particles, not D-Verb particles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, I wish I could say I disagreed with your intent or your methods, but I can't really deny either. But we can't be judge, jury, and executioner. There are ways to do this that are not murder.
"Judge, jury, and executioner, you can leave that to me," says Anastasia Strickland as they appear out of the crowd. They're in like, again, like just like sharp business suit. And as they come over, they just like flick their wrist and there's a pair of handcuffs in them. And they throw the handcuffs to you.
And they stop in midair, and a hand like grabs them and wraps them and crumbles it. And it's like, last I checked, you haven't been elected a judge. And I drop the handcuffs, and I am like, We're dealing with this, Anastasia. Just let me deal with this.
You hardly have a place to stand as an unelected protector of the people. Someone's being assaulted here, and you're taking her side on this? That's not going to look good in the papers.
I've looked bad in the papers before.
And that's not going to look good as they review your citizenship. You've been out of the city for 80 years. Did you know that rent-controlled apartment you're in is for citizens of Protean City?
And
cuff her.
And I think now there's the crackling and there's the cubes popping, and Blox is starting to lose and now there's the red face, right? Like it's hearing all of this. Now there's the red face. And Blox like I think looks at Anastasia and looks at D-Verb and looks down at this business person, locks eyes at the business person and just says, "There are a lot of loans that you are going to forgive today. Do we have an agreement?" And like he's still holding, and like the defibrillators are kind of hovering over the businessman, and I think there's probably a moment where like there's kind of a panicked like nod of the head.
Yeah, definitely.
And then they disappear, and then a door appears behind D-Verb.
Yeah.
And I think Blox like looks over to Anastasia. Looks down at the business person, looks at D-Verb. A boot appears in front of D-Verb, pushes her through the door, blocks, looks back at Anastasia and says, "Book 'em," or something, and like steps through the door, and like they are on a rooftop, and blocks is sitting. Blox like takes a sit on like an air conditioner or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, there are ways to get what will help people. Murder, it's gonna feel really good, but it's not gonna heal the hurt. That's looking at things through a lens of vengeance and not through a lens of reparation and not through a lens of healing.
But every day we let them keep control, they take more.
And I'm not saying we have to let them.
You sound just like them.
There's a lot. And he pauses and he says, "You know what? A lot of loans are going to get forgiven today. A lot of what that man took is going to get given back today. Because if it doesn't, I'm going to appear in his window and I'm going to do a scary Blox thing."
Scary Blox thing.
Yeah, I know. It's not the scariest thing. I'm a weird, pasty redhead. But here's
that she does laugh at.
And he puts up a finger. But the important thing is that healing was done today. Now, I can do what I can to stop Strickland from doing what Strickland does. But part of that's going to be you're turning yourself in. I know. I'm going to do what I can. And honestly, thank you. You knocked some sense into me. I forgot that I was a broke kid from the bash. I lost sight of who I was for a second, and you're right that there are people that have taken things from this city, and we can do more to take those things back.
And she sighs and goes, like, fine. They'd catch up with me either way. I didn't wear a stupid mask.
And he smiles and he's like, this domino mask does way more than you think. And then he pauses. I, regardless of citizenship questions, which is something for Hector to look into later, I have some pull with the city. I can sponsor you to get the loftiest deal that I can get. Anastasia will be a hurdle, but I can work on that.
Thanks.
I know. I'm
can you sign my stupid lab book? My professor's like obsessed with you.
And and he's like, no, I can't do that. And then the next panel is a selfie with just a mortified looking diva.
Perfect. Excellent. So for this, you have to take an injury or cause collateral damage. Is that like an emotional injury, do you think? Or do we think the collateral damage is...
I think
is D-verb.
I kind of like the collateral damage being D-verb and also being his reputation a little bit. Both because, like, his citizenship is in question, and Strickland has kind of a knife to twist in him and kind of a thing to go to the papers about and blast him. And also because there's an element of he is taking a more active stance, and he's filling in a little more of the folk hero menace role. Nice. And I think he's not quite as like gleeful, and there's kind of a damage to his reputation in the sense that now he's kind of, to use the overt example, or the overt reference point, he's Superman dangling, like, tech CEOs over rooftops.
Excellent.
And so, James, you're going to discard the top card off of the deck.
Okay.
Put it aside where you can possibly shuffle it back in later, but you're going to remove the top card off of the deck.
Okay.
And the other gameplay mechanic that comes up right now is because I didn't lose anyone. People survived. I saved people. My renown goes up by one. Anytime you don't roll a one, Brandon, my renown goes up by one.
Your renown goes up. Okay.
This will be something that comes up later. So my renown is now two.
Great.
Also, you need to track the people you saved, right?
Yes.
Do we have a name for the businessman?
I do not.
So that was Preston Atkin.
Love it. And I think the last panel that we see of this issue is... the last panel that we see is Blocks hovering in the window to kind of represent the change in his persona. Blocks hovering in the window, like, you know, all kind of ominous superhero silhouette. Atkin, we had a deal. And that's the end of the issue.
All right. So I have drawn a new card. It is the Five of Diamonds. So somewhere is in immediate danger in the Eastside University area. We are going to go to we are in the university area. There's a little bit away from like the campus. There's a big parking lot area, and on the far side of the parking lot is the small observatory building. It's sort of a little bit away from the rest of the campus to try to get a little bit further away from the city, and to have some room so there isn't like immediate light around it. And they're sort of doing some work on this telescope is Professor Morris, who is a small mouse lady, and her four grad students, Felicia Wong, Antonio Ben, Finn Cortez, and Rory Breckenridge.
Awesome.
They are there. They have like pieces of this remote telescope pulled off, and they are doing some maintenance on it as part of their preparation for the undergrad students come out at night and do some observing. And so they are doing some maintenance on this telescope to get it ready for that, and being observed by Professor Morris. So this is your element. These are the people you know. You probably know these students. You definitely know Professor Morris. She is another professor. And then her grad students, Felicia Wong, Antonio Ben, Finn Cortez, and Roy Breckenridge, who are not your grad students, but are science grad students. Yeah, yeah. You've seen them around.
They and have fetched so, me coffee.
Yeah, they somehow have fetched you coffee. So, Brandon, you are going to roll 3 dice.
The villain involved in this is she's a character that's shown up a whole bunch of different times before. She's Sharp Shocker. She's like a sort of a special ops, very 90s sort of character. She's got like a black and yellow Deadpool style thing, but has like basically like an enormous super high-tech sniper rifle and does a lot of electricity stuff. And so we're just going to start with her just smashing in through the window to the observatory where like they're doing the work, and just like hits the ground in a roll, and there's just like all of the lights start immediately bursting, and she just like swings the sniper off her shoulder and aims it at our dear doctor and says, the telescope lens now. I know what it's made of. I know why you've kept it here, but I need it. And I'm not going to ask twice.
I think all of the lights, the lights are bursting, and like it turns into like kind of pitch black, except for kind of, I think, the light off of Sharp Shocker's sniper rifle.
Yeah.
Except then like all the lights turn back on and they are like cobalt blue lights.
Immediately. Like the second that you are there, are you there in the room?
Yeah, I think that like when the lights come up, I'm there kind of like cracking my knuckles and like checking it out and being like, I haven't had a fight in a while. This is going to be fun.
And like as you're cracking your knuckles, like there is a net full of electricity like hurling towards you and just like coming right at you.
And I think it completely catches me because like I'm kind of goofing it up a little bit and it completely catches me.
And like, the second after that, she is like on you in like a flying kick and is just like like punching and kicking like these like very hard martial arts hits that look very dangerous.
And I think I take a few of them before like shields start popping up or hands start catching and kind of hands start catching and swirling. But like I take a few of them and then kind of like spit a little blood and go, oh, right. I hate fighting. This is awful.
All right, should we go ahead and get the roll?
Yeah, give me some rolling.
That's a 3-die roll?
Yep.
3-die, take the highest.
Good news, that's a 6.
Oh, yeah, I push past my limits and become something greater than myself and inspire people.
Dang. At first, you're starting to, like, just, like, block all of her shots. Mm-hmm. And then she, like, does, like a whipping motion with her hand. And little, like, filament wires wrap around her fists. And they start, like, shredding through your constructs at first.
Oh yeah, and I think like the net, like the reason she gets blows in is because the net like cover, like it shocks in just such a way that like I'm temporarily like powerless, right? And so she gets some shots in, I'm eventually able to like overpower it, and I think what happens is I'm like, fighting, this is awful, I don't want to, professor, can you can you give everyone goggles? The shaded ones. Shaded goggles.
Those are in drawer G3. G3, immediately. Come on. Snap, snap.
G3, everybody. Oh, that was a low blow. A construct hand grabs her foot and, like, throws her back on her back and is like, there's no need to be mean.
And she's got, like, a big knife in her hand. She says, you might not like fighting, but you're going to be doing a lot of it soon. There's a bounty on your head. And if I don't get it, someone else will.
There's a bounty? I have not had a bounty on my head in 92 years. This is great.
You've pissed off some big names. And like in that panel, as she's saying that, she's like already like balancing on one hand and like kicking towards your face.
I think we see one panel of like Felicia, Antonio, Finn, and Rory scrambling for these glasses so ostensibly protect themselves, but also take up a position behind they have one of those big moving work cart, like tool carts, so they can stand behind it and be relatively safe, but also peek around and watch this fight happening.
And I think Professor Morris has tapped a couple of things on her data pad, and the chair that she was sitting on has become like a one of those like running mouse balls, but like obviously like protected.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what finally like happens is like he's blocking. He's clearly playing defensive. And what we see in that sequence where we see the mouse ball and we see them scrambling is like over several panels of them fighting. The telescope is moving. And like finally, grabs a kick, blocks a knife, like a block, constructs a block of wood to absorb the knife, and just yells,
"Funk!
Everybody, shut your!" Or just yells like, "Eyes down!" And we see a shot of the grad students and Professor Morris like looking forward, and then we see a shot of all five of them like eyes straight down at the floor.
Yeah.
Full page shot as a finger pushes a button, like a construct finger pushes a button. Everything lights up. All these, there are just screens all over the room that like light up.
Awesome.
And like it's just showing something in deep space, right? Like some huge cosmic thing. And we get like a close up shot of Sharp Shocker just muttering, like, "It's beautiful." And then like a boxing glove punches her in the face.
Perfect. And she just goes right down.
Works every time. And it hits the button and they all look up. What was it? Oh, you don't want to know. It's fine.
Awesome. And I think that, yeah, that you have inspired Sharp Shocker.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. That's fascinating because she's going to still be a threat on this board. Perfect. The ball like retracts back into just like the robot seat that she's on. And it brings her over towards blocks. And she like has a hand outstretched and says, "Thank you very much for your support on that, Doctor. It was quite a pleasure watching you work."
And like it turns back and I'm already out of the blocks outfit and wearing my lab coat and like glasses. And this like things are popping and I'm like, it's an honor to watch you work. I'm just like staring wide eyed at this telescope.
And she like gets like a moment of like awkward giggles and pulls herself back together and says, "Yes, well, there's quite a few fantastic people at this university.
You know, best and brightest. That's what they always say. Everybody, I'll let you get back to work. I've got some papers to grade, but great work out there. Hey, don't forget. You are the ones building a kinder world. I'm just protecting you while you do it."
And in like the final panel that has them like getting back to work, Dr. Morris is going, "He's taller than he looks, isn't he?" I feel like he's taller than he looks in the... we need to get this thing taken apart and put back together.
You turn to the last page of the comic. You find a page with a picture of an envelope and a ring with a circle of letters on it. Do you have questions or comments? Don't forget that you can send your letters in written or short audio format to letters@protean.city. We'll publish your letters with every issue and a response from our editors. Cut out the coupon below and mail it in with your letter and 40 cents, and we'll send you a Blox Heroic Decoder Ring. Blox has been trapped in the sun for 80 years, trying to decipher the implosion bomb. With this ring, you can help. A secret clue for how to deactivate Dr. Finality's devastating device is hidden in every issue of the ingenious Blox. With this decoder ring, you can decode those secret messages and do your part to help Blox save the sun.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy.
The hero, Blox, is played by Jeff Stormer, who can be found on Twitter at PartyOfOnePod. He can also be found on his excellent podcasts, Party of One and All My Fantasy Children. You can find his games, like Anyone Can Wear the Mask, at jeffstormer.itch.io. The city was played by me, James Malloy, and I can be found on Twitter at AndTheMeltdowns. The villain is played by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at BLeonGambetta.
The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.